Hey, everybody, this is Eileen Thompson. Welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. Have you ever been involved in an unhealthy relationship? Or maybe it is that you kind of look back over your life and you see this pattern going on where you come in and out of unhealthy friendships or dating relationships or work situations even, and you want to know why. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. And hopefully the truth that I'm going to be sharing with you will allow you to once and for all take away that victim card and begin to walk a new way by changing your perspective. And the bottom line is this. The bottom line in this and what I'm going to share with you today, and one of the reasons why we want to know what the role is that we're playing in this. Like, why are all these patterns happening, right? We want to discern and dissect that for us and not necessarily blame other people, right? Because the truth is that you cannot change other people. You can only change yourself. And so if you're able to uncover truth to change you, that is when you can take ownership and responsibility to move in the right direction. And sometimes that's hard to hear, right? Because we want to just stay and blame other people. But when you ask God to show you, then you can take ownership and you can go a new way. And the bottom line is this, is that when our relationship with God is healthy, we will attract into our lives healthy relationships with others. But when our relationship with God isn't healthy, then that need to have that relationship with God is still there. We're going to look to people to fill that void and fill it in such a way that we're no longer looking to people as people that we should love. We're looking to people to give us life, to give us those things that only God can give. And when we do this, we open ourselves up to unhealthy relationship patterns that will continue to play out in our lives. Well, today is a new day. Can you say victim no more? Because once you have the truth about what you can do to change, what you're doing to maybe attract these kind of relationships into your life, that's when you can take ownership and walk in a new direction. Are you ready? All right, let's hit it. The first reason why we women can get involved in unhealthy relationships, whether it's a friendship or a dating relationship, whatever it is that we want a king. We want somebody strong and confident to lead and guide us. And so because of that, we're attracted to worldly power in people. Like, we want somebody strong and confident, right? But when we're attracted to somebody strong and confident like this, many times, not every time, but a lot of times, those people have narcissistic tendencies. And we'll give up our soul, we'll give up our choice, our free will inside of that relationship to have that protection and power. We want a king in our life. And this is human nature. I mean, this has been going on forever. I mean, the story that I want to tell you about that illustrates this point is inside of the Bible. I will never forget when somebody showed this to me. It's in 1 Samuel 8:5-9. I think that I was listening to a podcast by Bob Hamp, and he was teaching on this, and I thought this was so profound. But do you remember when Israel demanded they wanted to have a king? Do you remember that? They didn't have a king over them because God was supposed to be their kings, but they looked around and a couple things happened. One, Samuel's sons were not walking in integrity, right? So they weren't walking right. So people had let them down. People in leadership had let them down. And the next thing is that they were looking around at how the world was doing things, like all these other people had kings. And so they went to God and they said, well, we want a king too. I'm in 1 Samuel 8, verse 5 through 9. Verse 5, look, they told him, you are now old, they're speaking to Samuel, and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have. Samuel was displeased with their request and went to the Lord for guidance. Do everything they say to you, the Lord replied, for they are rejecting me and not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I have brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods. And now they are giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them. And you know what? It's human nature. Because it's human nature to trust in things that we can see, but have a hard time having faith in things that we can't see. And in this particular passage, Samuel's sons had let them down. And you know, and Samuel was, he was the priest. And so he was sort of like the leader. And so the leadership let them down. And then, so then when that happened, they came to God and they looked around at what the world was doing. And they said, give us a king. And inside of our own lives, there may be people that have let us down. Maybe it was a father figure. Maybe it was a mother figure. Maybe it was a coach, a teacher, whoever it may be. And so we just want somebody strong that can lead us and guide us. And so we say to God, give me a man, right? Give us a king. Give us a king. And do you hear what God said? It said, do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about a way a king will reign over them. So a lot of times this happens, women will be seeking that security. And so they see in another person that maybe they're, you know, strong and confident and, you know, gruff and all that sort of stuff. And so they'll surrender their control over to this person to be in relationship with them. But all of a sudden, they've lost their free will. All right. So what's the answer to that? The answer is to remember that you already have a king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is your good shepherd. And John 10 tells us that he gives to us and he guards us and he guides us. And God, you have all that you need. And it is really hard when leadership in your life that was supposed to be there for you lets you down. But what we don't want to do is just throw our hands up in the air and say, you know what? I want an earthly king. And I want worldly power, and I want that. No, that's when we need to remember to look with our eyes of faith and to trust the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All right, so the next reason is this, is that we are looking to fulfill a parental void in our life. Now, a lot of times this can be subconscious. But if we, a lot of times we might be looking for a mom in a friendship or a dad in a dating relationship. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. We're given this need inside of us so that we could actually find God. But the problem is that it may be such a need that's so strong because we really haven't dealt with that, that we can open ourselves up to unhealthy situations, and we will try to recycle that need that we have, right, with other people. Listen to Jeremiah 2:27. To an image carved from a piece of wood, they say, you are my father. To an idol chiseled from a block of stone, they say, you are my mother. They turn their backs on me, but in times of trouble, they cry out to me, come and save us. So what's the answer to this? The answer is to remember as you walk by faith that God is your heavenly Father, that He is your nurturing mother, that in Him you have all that you need. In Jeremiah 3, He says, "How I longed for you to call me Father." He says that a lot inside of Jeremiah. We see God saying, "I was your loving father," or He calls Israel their beautiful, delicate daughter. And so it's almost like God is saying, if you just would have remembered that I'm a good, good father, you wouldn't have tried to gone out and create this for yourself. So that's another reason. And the answer to that, again, is just moving Jesus into that role. Okay, number three is that past patterns that are programmed in our subconscious make chaos seem comfortable. Past patterns make chaos seem comfortable. In other words, if we have marinated in or we've grown up in patterns where there was unhealthy relationships going on, then we think that that's normal. Or if we are looking at what the world tells us is good for relationships or those patterns, then we might think that worldly things are good to seek out, right, in relationships. And you're not a bad person, right, because of this. It's just these past patterns, and we all have them. We've all been marinated in what we've grown up in and what we've seen. But here's beautiful truth in God's word, Ephesians 4, 20 through 23. "But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes." So our past patterns, we can be reprogrammed by the renewing of our mind as we come to Jesus and let Him lead us out of the chaos. And the way that we do that is by steeping ourselves and spending time in God's Word. Now, at Treasured Ministries, we've created the Nourish Bible Study Method and something called the 21-Day Challenge, which is designed specifically to take you into learning the Bible study method and to cultivate that life-changing habit of spending time with God and His Word so that you can renew your mind to truth. And one of the lessons that we have is how to discern God's voice. And when you're able to discern God's voice, that is when you're able to find truth. And when you find truth, you travel down different paths, trailways and things that are different. But Jesus wants to continue to lead you and guide you through that process of sanctification. And part of that is learning what in your past are patterns that are not healthy and good for you. All right. So, past patterns. The next thing is when we are a fixer or a rescuer. Now, why do we do that? We fix and we rescue because it makes us feel good to rescue people, right? It makes us feel good to fix things. And also, if I'm fixing and rescuing, then I'm actually needed and wanted, and that's a really good thing. And I also feel secure in the relationship because if I'm needed and wanted, well, then I don't have to face rejection. Now, I know about this because this is a past pattern in my own life. But when we live our life this way, we're actually putting ourselves in a position that only God should be. Because only God is the healer and the fixer, right? Only He is the healer and the fixer. And so if we take on that role it can open ourselves up to unhealthy situations because we will naturally be attracted to being inside of relationships where we are the fixer. The next thing is that we are, if we're a pleaser, if you're a pleaser, that means that you get your worth and value out of everybody liking you. And so when you live your life that way, you won't be able to say no. But if we get our worth and value out of the Lord alone, then we're able to discern between healthy and unhealthy relationships. And we're also able to say no. And sometimes saying no to others is one of the most healthy things that we can do for somebody else. Because love does not mean that we condone evil behavior, right? Or we like let that go. Love does not mean that we enable people. Love means sometimes that we make the hard choice to say no. And also when you're a pleaser, if you feel this way, if somebody has rejected you, you probably will work doubly hard to try to get that person to like you. Well, and that is not what God wants. I mean, oftentimes rejection can be a form of God's protection and redirection for you to find a different, healthier provision in your life. The next thing is this, that we just don't believe that we're worthy of healthy friendships. And again, the answer is coming into a closer relationship with Jesus, because if I receive God's love, I understand that if God can love me like that, then I'm worthy of giving this love to others and also receiving it for myself from others. I let go of trying to prove myself and I walk with a healthy biblical perspective about my own worth and value. And so I believe that I'm worthy of healthy friendships like this. And I open myself up to that instead of just saying, well, I need to be friends with these people, right? The next thing is that way that we are vulnerable to unhealthy situations is when our expectations are in people. In other words, when we are looking for people to fulfill a need that we have. And when our expectations are in people, it flips our perspective on people, and people take priority over our relationship with God. And that's when things get really messy, because only God should have the top priority placement in our life. And so if we have put a person in that position, one, it's a burden that they can't bear because people aren't perfect, but it can lead us into unhealthy situations. Now, when God is at the center of our life, I find out that I already have a king. I already have a good shepherd that is leading and guiding me. I already understand that every relational need, the need that maybe my mom didn't give me or my father didn't give me, is fulfilled in God, so I can mourn that loss and move on, trusting him. When Jesus is at the center, he's helping me to discern the truth that is different from my past patterns and teaching me a new way to live. When Jesus is at the center of my life, I realize that I cannot rescue, fix, or control anybody, that this is God's place alone. When Jesus is at the center of my life, my worth and value come from God alone. And because God loves and values me, then I believe I'm worthy of love from others. and I can receive this love from them and give it to them too, and have that filter in my life where I am concentrating on healthy, close friendships. And so when God is at the center of our lives, we can love Him, and then it's like it filters out our other relational needs. And all of this is a process, and it's a continual lifetime process, right? But it is absolutely the key that a healthy relationship with God will attract healthy relationships with others. Now, if you're listening to this podcast and you find yourself at a crossroads, right? And the crossroads being that you just feel like that maybe you're in an unhealthy friendship or dating relationship, and something that has said in the podcast or whatever has just sort of pricked your heart. If you're at the crossroads, I want you to consider letting that relationship go. And I've got a four-step process for you that is right inside of God's Word. And it comes from Jeremiah. And inside the book of Jeremiah, Israel has gotten themselves all involved in other gods and other nations' relationships and all this sort of stuff like that. And God is telling them that there's going to be consequences from that, not that because of their choices, because of choices that they've made, right? But then He continually reminds them, though, that they can turn and come back to Him, that He's their loving Father. And so inside of these verses, He says this in Jeremiah 6:16, beautiful verses. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. So the first thing that you need to do is to stop. Stop. Pull back and think. Inside of this relationship, there's a relationship that has gotten you all weary, worn out, and is not good for your soul. Stop. Pause. And then it says, ask for the old godly way. So we stop. And then we ask God, Lord, is this not a relationship you intend for me? God, this relationship is wearing me out. Is this, have I gotten into this with a wrong motive? Or God, am I looking for a king in this person? Or God, have I given up the priceless gift of free will to this person? So you ask God. And then once God gives you wisdom, then it says that you walk in it. And walking implies to me putting action to the word that God has given you. Because faith and action walk hand in hand. And we can study our Bibles all day long. But once God gives you a word, then you need to put action to it. And if that means getting out of an unhealthy friendship, that's a very hard step to take. But you can trust God's wisdom in this because God is all loving. And I will never remember when I was in a very unhealthy friendship. And I remember walking on the beach and praying and saying, God, what do you want me to do? And God just made it very clear. And I said, well, I feel so bad about that, right? And I just don't know if it's right. And I don't know if this is the loving Christian thing to do. And I thought I was supposed to help this person. And then the Lord told me, if you love this person, you will let them go. And it was a very hard decision to make. And it was hard because this person had a very narcissistic personality. And there were ramifications from that choice. And sometimes when we back out of an unhealthy situation, there are negative consequences from it. But freedom is never free. And unhealthy relationships take away that precious gift of free will that God has given you, and you're here to worship and serve God alone, not other people. And in authentic relationships, in connections designed by God, they will be the type of relationship where you are able to maintain your own identity inside of that community. And walking away from something like that can be very hard and difficult and challenging. We feel all kinds of guilt for boundaries, and probably those people will give you a hard time. You know, I can't believe you're doing this. But if God is telling you to get out, then you need to do it. And you can do it in a very loving way by really putting it on yourself, by saying, I really feel like God wants me to take a step back, right? Because we're not here to change other people. However, by you stepping back, it could be the very catalyst that will actually change that other person, right? But it's a very hard decision to make, a courageous decision. But once you make it, look at what it says. Travel its path. It says, ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Then it says, travel its path. And so you don't just walk away. You don't go back. You keep traveling down the path that God has for you. And one day, God might change that other person and he might change you. And then maybe the two of you can be healthy friends together. But for this season, maybe God is calling you to walk away. And you've got to keep traveling. It says travel its path. And you will find rest for your souls. It's not an easy road, but it is a road that leads to rest. Those Israelites back in the book of Jeremiah, I wonder what would have happened if they would have just turned. I mean, but maybe they were thinking, we're going to lose this and we're going to lose that, and we're already in this association and that association, and we want to be like all these other nations and blah, blah, blah. But if they had just turned around and followed God, there would have been probably ramifications from those other nations, but God would have redeemed and restored, right? And they would have found rest. Because rest is not having everybody like us. Rest is not having a king in our life. Rest is not having, you know, whatever it is that we're looking for. Rest is found in a relationship with Jesus. In fact, Matthew 11, 28 through 29 says this, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The only person that we should be tying our souls to, yoking ourselves with, is Jesus, and that's a place of rest. And from that place of abundance, that is where you will have the rest that you need to love others the way that God intended. And what will happen is, as you take on that yoke of Christ and as you're walking along in your purpose, and you'll start to see other people and they're yoked to Christ. And because they're yoked to Christ, they're not going to try to yoke themselves to you in an unhealthy way. And that's authentic friendship. But it stems from first your relationship with God. And so I want to ask you in closing, is there a relationship that's wearing you out? Is there a relationship where you're the fixer and the pleaser all the time? Do you get your worth and value by everybody having to like you, and so you try to fix relationships all the time? If someone has rejected you, you're running after them instead of letting them go. Jesus says, stop. Come to me and ask me, and I'll tell you a new way to walk. and you will find rest for your souls in a relationship with me. And only then will you be able to find the true divine connections that you were created for. Thanks so much for listening in today, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.